was a really pretty serious accident on I-40. We got behind. We weren't too far behind the exit, accident on the way here, and it cleared up pretty well by the time we got up there, so we weren't too late. We didn't know how late we would be, and commented to Vera, said, well, 20 years ago, for all we knew, the wreck was somewhere in downtown Nashville. We'd be there 2 hours, but we were able to look it up on GPS to see how far we had to go, so it wasn't that far, so we were thankful for that, but it didn't look like anyone was injured. The cars were pretty banged up, but didn't see anybody get into an ambulance, and looked like the drivers were walking around, so that was good. I do want us to pay attention to the words of 340 into our hands. We sung the song a moment ago, and from time to time we like to read the lyrics of these songs to give us a little bit of inspiration, a little more thought into what we've been singing. I think this is a great song of motivation in thinking about the example that we have in this world and the responsibility we have as Christians and what God has entrusted with into our hands and that we should share with others. As swiftly we're turning life's daily pages, swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ, the true light. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying. While we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Did he not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way unto heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Let's have a word of prayer before our lesson. Lord, we are thankful that we can assemble here this evening and begin and end the day as we began the day in worship. We know our days are few. The hours are turning into years. The older we get, the faster time seems to go. And so let us take advantage of opportunities to be an example of Jesus and share the gospel both in our acts and in our words. Let us be people who defend and know the truth and share the truth and be interested in the truth wherever it may be, and what we say to one another and what we share online and all those places where we happen to be in work and school. We know that truth is so valuable. Help others to see us that way. We pray that you bless any who are hurting and were injured in the accident that we passed on the way here this evening. Be with Tim Dawkins as he recovers from his brain surgery. Be with Christine Garrett as she continues to battle cancer. Be with Rick Reed and Faye Waller. So many others that we have mentioned lately who are in various stages of poor health. We know many have been affected by the virus that's going around this country. Some have just been ill in a way similar to other illnesses. Some have been hospitalized, some have died. We know that there are families who are grieving tonight, and we pray that you lift them up and strengthen them. We know that without your son dying for us, we would be dead in our sins and have no hope of salvation. But we know that you loved us so much that you gave your son to die for us. And without your mercy and grace, sending him to do that, we would be condemned. We're thankful for your love, your mercy and grace and forgiveness. Thankful for this family of believers here who share life together and encourage one another in their Christian walk. We know we sin. We know we fall short so many times, so we pray you forgive us tonight. Bless us as we study your word. Stay with us. Help us to grow in our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are at the final lesson of our 2 Timothy series. The chapter 4 has, I've labeled just final thoughts. Final thoughts to Timothy at the beginning of chapter 4, and telling him to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Final words for him about how to do his job. Then we have final thoughts all went to discussing about himself. Saying, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. We talked about that phrase there where part of the wine would be poured out for sacrifices that were about to be made under the old law. And he said, we're already starting that process of my life. I'm about to die. I'm near the end. I'm being poured out like an offering. My last work is about to be accomplished. He says that in verse 6. Verse 8, he says, I'm looking forward to that reward. That the Lord is going to give me, the righteous judge, is going to give me and to anyone else who loves the appearing of Christ. And then he talked about some places he had been, some people who had been with him. We focused on a few of the names mentioned there, beginning in verse 9 and down through verse 15. And now we're beginning tonight looking at verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Where Paul says, at my first defense, no one supported me. We'll stop there. At my first defense, no one supported me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 7, we see where Timothy was with him during his first imprisonment. So, this is likely Paul talking about his second imprisonment and the process, the trial that went on then. He says, you know, my first defense, no one was there. Rather, prior to when Timothy had been with him in that imprisonment. First offense, no one supported me. What a sad thing to say, a sad way to be. Paul was often deserted. You go back up to verse 10 of this passage. We skipped over this last week. It says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. We didn't talk about Demas. We talked about these final few people that Paul talked about, but he says, hey, Demas was with me, he was faithful, and then he left, he deserted me. And it says there, having loved this present world. There's a lot of short biographies of people that we have in the New Testament. It says in the New Testament that David fulfilled the will of God in his life and then he died. Will that be the greatest statement on your tombstone? Would that be the best obituary that anybody could ever have? He or she fulfilled the will of God in their life and then they died. Very short, simple, but profound statement about somebody's life. Here we have Paul talking about Demas. Very short. He doesn't go into a lot of detail, but simply says, Demas loved this present world. What a profound statement Paul is making. He's saying, look, I'm thinking about my citizenship in heaven that he said in Philippians chapter 3. I'm looking forward to heaven. That's where my life is headed. He says, Demas, he loves this too much. I don't know what Demas got involved in. I don't know what you can do in Paul's day to demonstrate your love of this world. In Paul's day, in the middle of the first century, we know that that world was very caught up in sports, not unlike today. They were a sporting world back then. They would have sports all the time, all over the Roman world. Maybe he got caught up in that. Maybe he got caught up in drinking. Maybe he got caught up in gambling. Maybe so many things that go on today, we read of in Scripture. He could have gotten involved in any of those things and just said, you know, I will dedicate my time and my interest and my money in today, in this present world. And so he looked at the Apostle Paul and said, we're not on the same page anymore. We're not interested in the same things. I don't know if it says more about Demas or Paul when he says, Demas loved this present world and deserted me. I don't know if that says how much faith Paul had and how dedicated he was, or how little Demas had in faith. An indictment on his life. But Paul was deserted a lot. John Mark deserted him early in that first missionary journey. When he was first converted, the disciples didn't believe he was converted. Barnabas had to come along and say, no, he's really converted. This guy that's been persecuting the church and running people out of their homes, yeah, he was converted. I promise he was. He's not telling you a lie. But people wouldn't believe it. All throughout Paul's life as a Christian, he had people who deserted him. But so did Jesus. Judas being with Jesus those roughly 3 years and seeing all that Jesus did, I think we could all say Judas also loved this present world. It says in Scripture that Satan entered his heart. And I can assure you, if you let Satan enter your heart, you're going to love this present world a lot more than you're going to think about heaven. You're going to love this world more than you're going to love going to heaven. More than you're going to be motivated to go in that direction. Judas let Satan into his heart, and he took 30 pieces of silver and betrayed Jesus. How much is it going to take for you to betray Jesus? How much is it going to take for you to be like Demas? How much is it going to be for you to say, you know, I like this life. I like worldly life. I'm not really considering and devoting my life to the things that are of faith. Will it be your job? Will it be your leisure time? Will it be your hobbies? Will it be your family? Will it be your ambition? What will it take, if anything, for you to be like Demas? Paul just simply makes a statement. You know, my first defense, nobody supported me. But he goes on. As we look at what the people did around Paul. Demas deserted him. That's one of the things the people did. But then he goes on to say, in verse 16, all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. In the original language, this literally means not held on their account. It's a banking term, held against them. Your version may say, have a word for that, about an account, held on their account, is really a better translation. You owe something to someone, you have an account with them, you have a debt with them. He said, Demas has a debt with me. All these other people that could have been with me and supported me, they have a debt with me. They owed me that. All that I did for them, all the times I supported them and I traveled all over the world to help them and support their faith and establish churches, and they weren't there for me. They owe me. He could have said. He said, let me tell you two facts. One is, nobody was around when push came to shove, when times got tough. But let me also say the second fact is, they don't owe me anything. Their account with me is zero. They've got no payments to make. An incredible statement from Jesus, but it sounds familiar, doesn't it? An incredible statement from Paul, but it sounds familiar. Jesus said that in Luke 23:34 when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, the end of Acts chapter 7, as he's being stoned, the first martyr, looks up and says the same thing. Don't hold it against them. We've said so many times that when somebody sins against you, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, they do it out of ignorance. They don't know. They either don't know all the facts, or they don't know how bad it hurts you. They don't know the consequences to the fullest extent. They don't know what responsibilities they have. There's something they don't know. Jesus said, these people who are crucifying me don't know. Peter told them later in Acts chapter 2 what they didn't know. Stephen being stoned. Saul holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. Saul didn't know. The same person writing these words who aided and abetted those who were stoning Stephen was ignorant. He admitted it later. So Stephen said, don't hold it against him. And here Paul is saying, here at the most crucial time of my life, everybody ran away. Don't hold it against him. Most of the time, when somebody hurts you, they're doing so out of ignorance. And if they knew everything they needed to know, truly knew it, probably wouldn't have done it. It's amazing that Jesus and Stephen and Paul could say those things in such terrible situations. Paul sitting in a dungeon, Stephen while he's being stoned, Jesus while he's hanging on a cross, suffocating, bleeding to death. Now compare that to all the times people deserted you and betrayed you and hurt you. Which situation do you think is worse? Were you hanging on a cross when somebody insulted you? When you got passed over at work for that promotion or that job? When something didn't work out for one of your children because of something somebody said and did? Which do you think is worse, being on a cross or somebody didn't invite you to something? Is it worse to be chained to a dungeon floor like Paul was when he wrote this? Is that worse, or the time that somebody said something to you online you didn't like? Have you ever been stoned to death? There have been attempted stoning of your life because you believed in Jesus. I think all three of those situations are a lot worse than anything we go through in life, but we like to hold on to things. We like to say, well, I'll never forgive them. I'll never let them off the hook. How long are you going to hold a grudge? It's not easy to let it go. And I think anybody on earth who ever knows and knows anything about forgiveness and has practiced forgiveness knows how incredibly hard it is, because it goes against every fiber of our fleshly nature. Because human beings, fleshly human beings, want to get back. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Or at least you hurt me, I'm never going to let you forget it. The people around Paul deserted him, but he said, oh, they don't know me. They don't know me a thing. Now we contrast that with what the Lord did. Paul said, nobody was with me in my first offense. Everybody deserted me. Don't hold it against them. Now let's talk about the Lord. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Paul said, I'm standing there. None of these people are around me. Demas ran off. Everybody else ran off. But the Lord was standing with me. And he strengthened me. Same person that wrote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus had ascended to heaven long before Paul wrote these words. said, I know that. But he was still standing there with me. Stephen, being stoned, looked up and said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Never a day in Paul's life as a Christian did he ever ask, where is Jesus? He never asked that question. He might have asked, where's Demas? Where's Mark? Where'd Barnabas go? What's Peter doing? They all had time to run it off. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Mark ran off. Those are human beings being human beings, being afraid, being weak. And he said, no, the Lord never left me. He always stood there. Can you stand with and strengthen others? In that way, be Christ-like. That for those you love and care about, when their life is difficult, will you be like Christ and say, I'm going to stand with you. I kind of like when I see people who have gotten in trouble, arrested, and things like that, and then they get out of prison, and they reform, they change their lives, and they might be doing a press conference, and they'll be 5 or 6, 7 people standing around them, and you think, what are they all doing there? You know, we're here to listen to him, not all these other people. But this is essentially what they're doing, saying, hey, you might think he's a bad guy, but I know better, and I'm going to stand with him. I'm going to put my reputation on the line here. I want to lift this person up. The Bible tells us to do that. Galatians chapter 6 says, those who are called into trespass are to be restored by those who are faithful. It doesn't necessarily have to be during one of our services. We ask people to respond. It can be at any point in life where somebody says, I've involved myself in sin and I'm having trouble getting out of it. I need some help because I want to change. I'm trying to do better. The Bible says we bear those burdens. We strengthen. He says we do that in a spirit of gentleness and not getting caught up in what they're doing, not getting too close to the situation, but we support. We stand with. Because we say, you got caught up in something today. It might be me one day. And I know if it's me one day, I don't want everybody else to run away and turn up their nose and say, well, look at the bad guy over there. He shouldn't have done that. She should have got caught up in that. I can't believe she did that. You can either point at them or it can help get them away from it. That's what the Lord did for Paul. He stood with him. Strengthened. What did the Lord do? He continues. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Paul's a Roman citizen, so most Bible scholars say that he's probably, you know, when we read that, we think, oh, thrown to the lions. Paul's about to be thrown to the lions, like in Gladiator movie or the typical persecution of Nero that Nero went through. Paul died during Nero's reign, for Nero would light the streets with the bodies of Christians and do those types of things. Well, they would have done that to a Roman citizen. Paul's a Roman citizen. And so likely he's not talking about getting thrown to the lions, even though that's what we think of when he says something like that, being rescued out of the lion's mouth. You might think of Daniel in the Old Testament, same sort of situation. Probably not the case. He's probably just thinking about Nero himself, saying, you know, I've made it this far. And again, outside of the Bible and history, we conclude Paul eventually did die during that reign of Nero. But he says, every time along the way, the Lord rescued me. He pulled me out of that. He doesn't mention anybody else, even though the hands of other people helped him in certain situations. He gave all the credit to the Lord, and he says, the Lord got me out of this. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, says, God put me here in charge of all the food in Egypt to save my family. and it was a windy road. But the Lord put me here. We give too much credit to people. I know Romans 13 says, give honor to whom honor is due. And I fully support recognizing those who do things that are good. Fully support patting on the back and giving honor to whom honor is due. The Bible tells us to do that. However we express that, it may be money, a plaque, a mention, whatever it is, in whatever particular situation comes up. But we don't need to do that so much to where we don't give the Lord the ultimate credit. A lot of people helped Paul, even though many deserted him. He said, God rescued me, the Lord rescued me. That's who did it. But the question is, who's your lion? What or who is trying to bring you down? Maybe you can make a list in your life of all the times that you are almost destroyed, so to speak. You know, I could have lost my faith in this moment of my life. I could have lost my faith in that moment. When this happened, it all could have fallen apart. And we can talk about, again, that friend that came along and helped, and this person did this, and they are the hands and feet of the Lord. And that's exactly what they ought to be doing. But you can also look at all those times and say, those people were the hands and the feet, but the Lord stayed with me and rescued me from this lion, this thing that could have ruined my faith. But he always lifted me up. And then he switches it from the physical to the spiritual. In verse 18, we see what the Lord did when he said, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. The Lord saved Paul's soul. That's what he means by rescued me from every evil deed. He switches from talking about my defense at court and all the things I'm going through in this life. He says, you know what? He not only rescued me from those things, he saved my soul. He rescued me from every evil deed. He's not saying I never did any evil deeds. He's saying Jesus is the Savior. He saved me from the consequence of those evil deeds. He saved me from the destruction, the eternal consequence of sin. Nero, of course, eventually killed him. We're all going to die physically. We talked about that this morning. But we do not have to die spiritually. We're not saved, continue in that death that Ephesians 2 talks about. That we can live spiritually, being in Christ, and live eternally when we leave this world. When we're in Christ. Jesus will stay when others leave. Concluding verse 18, the Lord rescued me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. There was very little safe travel in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, I was shipwrecked. I was whipped. How many times did readers look back? They ran me out of this town. A riot started when I showed up. I was preaching over here, and I had some friends help me get away this way. Safety was not part of Paul's life as a missionary. If Paul would have stayed home and said, it's not safe for me to go out today and preach, he wouldn't have saved anyone. Safety was not the number one concern of his. Yes, when harm came his way, he ran the other way. But he went to the next place to find more people to teach. He kept going. He says here that the Lord will bring him safely to his heavenly kingdom. What a relief that would be for Paul. What a lift off of his shoulders here at the end of his life. After saying he fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith and all those things, he says, you know what? I'm going to leave this earth. And it had always been easy. But the Lord is going to take me safely, with no fear, with no worry. I'm not going to have to look behind, look over my shoulder anymore. And I'm thrilled about that. I finally get that ultimate rest, that ultimate peace. And that's what we all want. It's what we want to have for ourselves. It's what we want to have for the people we love. It's what we ought to want for everybody on earth. Is that safe passage to heaven. Not because we earned it, not even because we deserve it. Simply by the grace of God, he says, here is the way to receive that. I'm going to give you the way. I'm going to give you the person to make the sacrifice. I'm going to give you the path to a place where Revelation says there'll be no more tears, no more viruses, no more rioting, no more burdens. Simply a place of rest for eternity. If you're not a Christian this evening, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by responding to him the way the Bible says, that you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Romans 10:10 says that. If you believe, there's a resulting righteousness. You're leading, you're heading on your way to salvation. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. If you believe in the Lord, that's what you'll do. Having your sins washed away. If someone needs to do that tonight, we encourage you to do that. If you just need prayers, encouragement from faithful people to help you in your walk with the Lord, we would love to help you in that way. If there's something else that we can do, we'd love to be able to serve you in whatever need that you have. So please come now while we stand and sing together.